Here it comes. There. Gospel of Luke. As is very much a tradition, and rightly so, as we enter into December, we sing Christmas carols. And we ought to be preaching more so from the Gospels, and most certainly the story of our Savior's birth. Have you done your Christmas shopping? Have you started? I hope you have, and I'm sure you have. And that's a tradition as well. It's a good thing to give, but we know what the Lord says about that. It's better to give than to receive. Amen? And I think we all enjoy more so giving a gift than receiving one. I know I do. I just love to, especially my Judy, I love to show her that I put some thought into it. And yeah, okay. Yeah, that kind of goes against what I just said before. Better to give. And I know she's really good at getting me awesome gifts. No, you know what? I need so little. I tell you what I need is I need family. I need friends. I need your love, your support. Man, those are good gifts. Amen? Amen. And cash is good too. Hallelujah. Luke, sorry I said that. How does that happen? Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. You know, and another thing I love about our Bethlehem life, it's all Scripture. It's all Scripture from beginning to end. It's Scripture. It's the Gospels. It's Isaiah. It's wonderful. And the Scriptures are being broadcast on loudspeakers into our community. Now, don't tell me that's not effective. The word of the Lord is effective, and it always does what it is intended to do, which means it always hits the target. It's always effective. It always does as it was designed to do. What a joy that is in knowing that. We, years ago, our church in Edmonton, we were involved with a reading of the entire Bible from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, over 3 days. It was a weekend. And it was everyone in the church, in three churches, we were all assigned a reading. And we would read, I think, about 15 minutes. And it wasn't in your home. It was in a congregation. It was in a place. It was in a church building. And it was around the clock. You might have drawn the short straw and had a 3:30 a.m. reading in Habakkuk. You know, maybe that was you, or maybe you had to read the genealogies at 4:30 a.m. You know, maybe that was you, or the measurements of the Holy Temple at 5 a.m. Not your favorite. But we read it from beginning to end. The word of the Lord was pronounced, was projected, was carried out, and I know it's effective, and it was a powerful thing, and it moved many a people. It was very moving to be involved with such a thing. Good, very good. That's just about, you know, the word of the Lord, of course. So in Luke, reading in verse 26 of chapter 1, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of a salutation this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the holy child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she was called barren, is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we want to handle your word rightly. God, we take it very seriously what you have to say to us individually as a church, as each one. We want very much to hear what you have to say, that your word would not fall on deaf and dumb ears, but rather that we would have ears wide open to receive what you are saying to us through the Spirit. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. I believe the first instance of gift-giving at Christmas happened right here, in this story, in this passage. It was before the wise men. We often refer to the wise men as bringing gifts. And yeah, that's good, of course. But I believe there was a gift exchange between Mary and God. It was the very first. And first, these two people were in attendance, Mary and Gabriel. One came loaded with gifts. The other one was caught off guard, not expecting this event. As we read in the passage, God had wonderful gifts for Mary on that occasion. So what did God give to her? Well, first, he gave her a visitation by an angel. And this was not a cute and cuddly. Whenever I read this, as of late, I think of our little boy, Gabriel, in our church. We have a little Gabriel, and if we dressed him up with angel wings and white and a little halo, oh, he'd be as cute as can be. But I think the angels of God are just a little taller and way more frightening. Why else would they always have to begin by saying, "Fear not"? The first thing they say, I mean, if little Gabriel appeared to me, I'd just go, "You are the cutest little dude." And I'd want to pinch his cheek. But the angel of God was an awesome, awesome presence to behold. An angel is something else. It is a mystery, in fact, what angels are. People have studied them. People have, dare I say, even worship them. People have collected angels and, statues and jewelry and pictures, and they really love angels. But remember, the angel is the messenger. We refer to Gabriel as the announcing or pronouncing angel, as the one that brought this news, this wonderful event. This angel comes with a message. In fact, angel means messenger. Specifically, God's messenger. And he arrives from heaven in the presence of God to earth in the presence of this little young lady. Can you imagine if Mary was a young girl today and an angel arrived and wasn't expected, of course, because angels never are. Can you imagine if she was so busy with texting or doing whatever she's doing that she totally missed it? And the angel's sort of, "I'm right here." And she's, "Yeah, I'm just busy. I got things to do. I'm sorry." The angel grabbed her attention in his awesome presence. And his very first thing that they teach you in angel school is, "Don't scare her. Try not to scare her if you can." That's what he said to the shepherds too. "Do not be afraid. Although we're pretty awesome and frightening, fear not, do not be afraid." Basic training in angel school. God gave Mary an angel. What a gift that is. That would be enough for me. And then God gave Mary a scare. He certainly did. "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son." Now, the angel was scary enough. "You're going to have a baby, and you're not married." That's even scarier, I think. And in that day, in that time, that would have been a very frightening thought. But how can this be? How is this going to happen? She even asked that. Mary asked God a question. "This doesn't make sense. This can't happen to me." She is trying to make sense out of something that there would be no sense making of, if you will. And that's like today. We often try to make sense of our Christianity. We try to understand it. We try to, if you will, really label God, figure out God. This is how God works. This is what God does. So we can have some kind of measure and some kind of control and some kind of knowledge. But sometimes it's impossible. And that's, in fact, what is said there. The Holy Spirit says to her, the Gabriel says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Oh, is that all? Okay, well, that explains it. Really? That didn't help me at all. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. She's probably 14, 15, 16 years old. What was that? That sounds impossible. So the angel says, for nothing is impossible with God. In fact, this sounds impossible. The Holy Spirit shall overshadow you. How did that happen? Mary doesn't know how this is going to work. It doesn't make sense here. Gabriel isn't even in the knowledge of how this is specifically, precisely going to work. This has never been done before nor since. There's no template. There's no explanation. But nothing is impossible for God. But this sounds impossible. Fortunately, God deals in the impossible. God gave Mary an angel and most certainly gave her quite a fright. And Mary was given the word. God gave her the word. He came with information, with promise, with a wonderful announcement. He gave that to Mary. He didn't leave her in the dark. He told her some things. What a thing he gave her, a word. In fact, Scripture says Jesus Christ is the Word. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. She was literally given the Word of God in her womb. She was given the Lord Jesus, the Word of life. What a thought. She was given Jesus to care for, to love, to raise up. What a thought. This little girl was to take care of the Word, the living Word. There's a lesson in there for us all. We are all given the Word. We're given the Word in Scripture, and we are so glad for that. And I hope you handle that very carefully, and you respect it enormously. Not like back in days of old, they said, no one can understand this. This is too hard for the average person to understand. It's only for those who have studied it in great depth and detail. Those who have studied under a great teacher, if you will. But the Word is for all of us. And we are all to receive this Word and to read this Word and to love the Word of God. I haven't said it in a little while, but have you been in it? Have you been reading the Word? Are there some Bereans in this place who love the Word and search the Scriptures daily? I'm a Berean. You better believe I'm a Berean. And I read the Scriptures daily. And there's one over there. There's another. I know we have Bereans in this place. We have Bereans that have been members of our club for 10 years. 10 years of faithful reading God's Word. And those who have started with us right from the get-go, 10 years ago, this would be, I believe, our 10th year reading the Berean together. All of us. What a thing. What a wonderful opportunity that is. But we also have to handle the living Word, Jesus. We are given a great responsibility. I wonder about that. You know, we're supposed to be witnesses to the Word. We're supposed to testify the Word. But we're also supposed to be Word carriers. We're supposed to actually reflect and have the likeness of the Word shine out of our lives. What a thing. What a thought. We're supposed to take it with us. Take Jesus with us. What a thought. But don't be afraid, Mary. God gave Mary an angel and gave her quite a scare and gave her the word of God. God gave Mary such a mystery. God was going to take his awesomeness, the great God, the Ancient of Days. That's a beautiful name of God. The Ancient of Days, the creator of everything. And God was going to dwell in the womb of a teenage girl. What a thought. What a mystery. How can this possibly be? The idea, the hands that had stretched out and brought creation into existence are now little baby hands forming in the womb. What a thought. What a mystery. I mean, don't go, so? I mean, really? The creator of all becomes so small and so dependent and so fragile. Wow, what a thought. What an amazing thing. And to become an infant child. How can this be? Since, as Mary says, since I'm a virgin, how can this be? The entire passage can be boiled down to this simple thought. God became flesh. Awesome, mighty God, tiny little baby. The gigantic power that created the planets and flung the stars into place emptied itself into this little baby. Nothing is impossible for God. Hallelujah. But she's a teenager. She's unwed. She hasn't a clue what to do now. What a dangerous thing. What trouble has been brought upon her? I mean, in that day, for a teenage woman or any woman to have a child out of wedlock, that was grounds for death. She would be dragged to the edge of town, stoned to death, and that would be that. Sometimes it's like that when we get saved too, you know? It gets real dangerous to be a Christian at first. I remember when I first got saved, it was not easy to be a Christian because, well, my friends didn't like it, quite frankly. They really didn't like it. In fact, it seemed like they turned up the hate when I became a Christian. It seemed like the foul language got worse. It seemed like they were trying to tempt me all the more. It seemed like I had very few friends and then no friends for a while when I first came to Christ. It can be difficult. Anyone who says that becoming a Christian is going to be easy has not read the scriptures, has not talked to a believer, has not experienced it personally. It is not an easy thing at first, but it's a wonderful thing. It's a glorious thing. And yeah, it's trouble, but it's the best kind of trouble we'll ever have, to have Christ in our lives. What a joy it is. Yeah, things sometimes get worse. In fact, I believe the enemy will make things worse when you first believe, so that he can perhaps steal you back again, take back what the Lord has begun to take unto himself. The enemy does not like that, and so he will steal us away again. But Mary was asking questions like, will Joseph stick around? Will my parents disown me? Will my friends stand by me? Will the people of our town drag me out of town and kill me? What's going to happen to me? And what of this child? That very first Christmas, God gave Mary an angel and an announcement. And it gave her quite a scare in the process. God gave her the Word, and the Word dwelt in her and born of her and raised and cared for by her. God gave Mary Jesus. But what did Mary give God? This is crucially important. That first Christmas, Well, she had nothing to give God, it would seem. She hadn't been prepared for this. She couldn't have known that it was December 25th and needed to have a gift. Of course, it didn't happen on December 25th. But, I mean, she wasn't prepared. She didn't go shopping. She hadn't anything to give. She had nothing to offer, or didn't she? She had something amazing to offer. In verse 38, she says, I'm the Lord's servant. I'm the Lord's servant. No arguments, no more questions, no more resistance. I'm the Lord's servant. She gave herself to the Lord. She didn't give herself to Gabriel. She didn't give herself just to the circumstance. She gave herself to the Lord. I am the Lord's servant. And then she said, may it be to me as you have said. May it happen just like that. I am not only giving myself, I am completely surrendering my life. What a thought. What a thing. She is quite saying that. No more questions. No more doubt. May it be just as you have said. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. What better gift to give than yourself at Christmas time? That is the gift the Lord wants. I have a video I wanted to share with you. I think it really brings home this idea. Enjoy it. Birthday Jesus.
Well, today is your special day, and your birthday comes only once a year.
Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Since you're here, why don't you sit down and talk? We'll catch up.
No. This is about you. And this year, for your birthday, we knew exactly what you wanted.
Really?
Yeah, when do you see them?
We all got you gifts.
Well, the gifts are really unnecessary. I mean, I just want to sit down and chat.
Here, open mine first.
Oh, okay. All right, well. Oh, clever.
Yeah?
WWID. And I'm the only one that can wear it.
Right? Do you love it or what?
Yeah.
I thought, if Jesus would want anything, this would be it.
It's great, Drew. Listen, I know you were looking for work.
Yeah, Jesus, you know what? We're all looking for work. Here, open mine.
Sure.
It's a Bible.
Oh, Bible.
And it's got your name on it, and your words are in red, just in case you forgot what you said.
Always nice. Yeah, I don't know what to say. Hey, how did it go when you went over to talk to your aunt?
Oh, Jesus. Here, open my gift.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to love it.
All right.
Yeah. See? Right there. Huh?
Okay, and what is this?
Sand from the Holy Land. I special ordered it just for you so that you would feel more at home, you know?
I do.
Anyway, and that's not all. Check this out.
Cross.
Yes, a cross, exactly. But not just any cross. This cross was made from the same wood that your cross was made from. Can you believe it? And you can wear it as a necklace, you know, to remind you of that day.
Yeah, I don't think that's a problem. All this is unnecessary, guys, because all I really want to do is talk.
Jesus, what is your problem? I mean, if you don't like our gifts, just say so.
Yeah, we went through a lot of trouble to get you these. This Bible was not cheap, and the engraving was real gold.
You're going to act like that. You can forget about seeing us at Easter.
You know, you can at least be grateful for the stuff that you wanted.
But all I really wanted was you. What are you laughing about?
It's great to know we don't have to go shopping or search for the perfect gift for the perfect God. He's already told us what he wants. He wants you. He wants your presence. That's what he wants. It's so simple, so wonderful. You don't even have to wrap. Just present your presence to the Lord and talk to him. Spend some time with him. Give yourself to him. By all means, we give ourselves through good works, and that's important too. All the things we do as a church, you know, all the doings of Christmas. But at some time during this Christmas season, you have to stop what you're doing. You have to set aside time. You and the Lord have to sit down on that big comfy couch and have a conversation. If you get through Christmas and you didn't, what a shame. You missed it. We missed it. Everything else is good, and some things are really good. But this is great, that the Lord Jesus wants you. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son. That's his gift to us. Thank you, Lord. But our gift to him is ourselves. It's as simple as that. His conversation is catching up. It's spending time together. I have been to family Christmases, many, and you have, of course. We have one pretty much every year. Many of them. We have traditions. And we get together, and my family is a pretty big family. You have big families. Many of you have really big families. And when we get together, there's 30, 40 of us. We've lost track. We spread them out around the house and in the basement. We banish the teenagers down there. And we spread out amongst many rooms in my mom's house. It's very good. But I can often be in that house for the whole afternoon, you know, from about 3 p.m., till about 8 or 9 p.m., and never have had much of a conversation with anyone. I can actually go through that whole, say, 6 hours and barely connect it with a single one. Or if I really tried, I suppose I could have a sit down with one or two or three, but I mean, there's 40 of them. I have to make a conscious effort to sit down and be uncomfortable enough to say things, you know, like, how are you really doing? What's going on in your life? Know something about them and invite them to share something of themselves and share something of myself and get a little more personal. It can be the same way with us and the Lord, that we can talk about the weather, talk about sports, talk about the emergencies of our lives. But let's take some time. So I encourage you that sometime, perhaps today or tonight or tomorrow, draw away from the busyness of Christmas and have a good long visit with the Lord. Amen? Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you so very much. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your Son. And Jesus, thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your life. Lord, may our prayer be as Mary's was. Lord, I surrender to you. I give myself to you. I am your servant, and may it be as you have said. I surrender all. God, if there be anyone here today who does not know you as the Lord, or one who has drifted away, I pray you would draw them to yourself by your Spirit, and that this Christmas season they will renew relationship with you, or begin relationship with you, and it will be beginning of a wonderful, wonderful life, to coin a movie's name. I pray your blessing upon this church and the ministries of this church and every family within this church family. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name, and we all said, Amen. Amen.